message. It's a shovel. I grabbed this out of my shed. Didn't have time to clean it, so hopefully I don't mess up Brother Smith's carpet. But it goes along with my message, and it is filthy and dirty at the bottom because I use it for regular basis on cleaning junk up around my house. And I hope you get a little something out of that, because I don't know how much you're going to get out of my preaching. I'm not a spectacular preacher. I don't claim to be. I prefer to be called a teacher, because I like to dive into the word of the Lord, and I don't like to proclaim that I am anything great, because trust me, after we're done today, I think you'll understand that I'm just here just as a vessel to try and reach souls. And I'm very new at this, but I'm very thankful for the opportunity that Brother Smith has given me, and the opportunity that he believes I can take, because he told me I'd be doing it, and I said okay. I asked if his father would come. He said no. I asked if his brother would come. He said no. So it's just me, just out here alone. I got a nice little token of how much they support me this morning, but they wouldn't be here. So I hope that you can bear with me. I want us all to stand for the word. We're going to be starting in Genesis. I've got a few scriptures, but we'll just do this as our main. Genesis chapter 26. And we'll start at verse number 1. Brother Donnie and Sister Marissa have heard this message. I prayed over my messages and what God would want me to speak to you. And this one stuck out, so I hope you all get something from this word. If you're there, please say amen. Genesis chapter 26, verses 1, and we'll go all the way through 18. I know it's a lengthy scripture, but please bear with me. And there was a famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as stars of heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice, and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my law. And Isaac dwelt in the land of Gerar. And the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said unto them, She is my sister, for he feared to say she is my wife, lest he, the men of the place, should kill him for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out his window and saw that, behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, Behold, of a surety she is thy wife, and how sayest thou she is thy sister? And Isaac said unto him, Because I said she, lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, What is that thou hast done unto us? One of the people might have lightly lien with her, with thy wife, and thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, He that touches this man's wife shall surely be put to death. And Isaac sowed in that land, and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great, and went forth, and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks, possessions of herds, great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. I'd like to speak to you just for a short time. Just keep digging. If you'll pray with me over this word, Lord God, I pray that you would touch and bless us in this service, God. I pray that you would anoint my lips of clay, Lord Jesus, to speak the words you've given me, God. I pray that you would touch and bless me in this place. Lord, help us to reach you, God. Help us, Lord God, to move in this place. Lord, let your anointing pour out on each and every one of us, God.
I pray that you touch this word in a mighty way. Lord Jesus, I pray it in your mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name, I do pray. And you may be seated. Amen. Isaac life is a very interesting one because he follows almost exactly in the footsteps of his father. Father Abraham, as we know, had many sons, had Father Abraham, as the song goes. But the Lord only recognized one, and that was Isaac, because he was Sarah's only son. And in this story, or this chapter of his life, we read about a famine that's in the land that's causing him to move. His story is very, very similar. He goes to the land of Gerar, which is the land of the Philistines. And he went through almost the same famine that his father did 100 years earlier. But Father Abraham was told by the Lord to go down into Egypt. God specifically told Isaac not to go down and told him that the many great blessings that God had promised to Abraham would be his if he'd only listened to the voice of God, because God's covenant would be fulfilled in Isaac. The apostolic generation of this time has many abundance of promises, blessings that belong to us. They have our name on them. But too many times we get in our own way and we sell ourselves short of what God has really planned for our lives. We may be looking at small blessings. We may be looking at a small promise when God really has a multitude waiting for us just behind the door. We have every opportunity given to us as church-going people, as apostolic people, to be the best influence, the greatest influence upon this world. Our pews are filled with the wonderful people, very nice. We have wonderfully dressed people. There's always food on our tables, and we live much less stressful lives than everybody else in this world. We enjoy the blessings of God every single day. How many is thankful for the blessings of God in your life, in this house? Our scripture text tells us that Isaac sowed and received in the same year 100-fold and was blessed by the Lord. This is very significant because in the land of Gerar, there was also a famine, and everyone around him was struggling to survive. All the Philistines were still trying to make it, and Isaac, in the midst of them, waxed very great, and the Lord was with him. Isaac, like his father before him, became a very great man because he listened and obeyed the voice of the Lord. The enemy around him started to take notice. They stood up and started to take notice. Let me tell you what, church, we are blessed beyond any measure. And we make a very big influence upon this world, and they start to notice when God places blessings in our life. And just as the Philistines did in the days of Isaac, this world's going to try and stop the blessings coming into your life. The Bible says in chapter 26 and verse 15, it says, "For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth." The Philistines were so filled with envy and jealousy that they began to try and stop the blessings of God upon Isaac's life. Isaac, like Father Abraham, was a herdsman, a nomad, and wells were essential to feeding his family and his flocks. Wells in that day were a sign of prosperity. And without wells, without water, everything around him would die and all his blessings would cease. The well was an essential part of daily life. I'd like to turn our attention to John verse 4, 9 through 14. I'd like to read a little bit about a well that Jesus was talking about. Let me get there. Sorry, I didn't have it noted. I do want to read it from the word, though. We're going to read verse 9 through 14. And it says, "Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, which is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water?" Sorry, you'll have to excuse me. Sorry. "The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. How many is thankful that Jesus is our well in this time, in this hard time? I'm thankful for God to be our well of strength and of life. Amen. Thank you. Such a small church, so helpful to a young man trying to preach the word. Amen. God is wonderful. He's done all kinds of things in our lives. He's been our well so many times when we have needed him. God is our well, just like in the wells of Isaac. They were handed down to him by Abraham. I'd like to think of this well, or this gospel, Jesus, as our inheritance, our well, given down to us by our fathers, by my father and my grandfather. I can remember growing up on a church pew listening to my grandfather. He had quite a bit more zeal than I did. I'd hear him just run back and forth. I can't do any of that or else I'd get lost on my notes here. But he'd run back and forth and he'd be turning beet red, preaching fire and brimstone, and it would scare me to death. Amen. I'm not quite like that. I'm just a teacher. Amen. That's why I can't do any of that. But by God's grace, I hope to scare you someday. I'll get up here and I'll turn red and preach fire and brimstone. Amen. And she said, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob?" Jesus was greater, even though she didn't know it. Jesus spoke into her life a little bit later on about her husband's, or husband, as he called it. But God can speak into our lives, and I'm just going to go off my notes here and ramble for a second, as my wife would say. God can speak into our lives, and no matter what you're going through, and no matter what comes against you, we all have to remember that we have a well in Jesus that we can go to no matter what. Amen. The Bible says that Satan will come in like a roaring lion. I'd like to focus on something a little more particular, something we need to pay more attention to in this day and age. Satan comes into our homes as a slithering snake. Bible says that the enemy will come in like a flood, but the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard. But if your well has been filled with debris, if your well has gone dry, there's no chance of you stopping Satan in this day and age. We need to get out our shovels. We need to go into the wells that our fathers have dug and dig them again, because they may have been filled by the enemy while we were not watching. Just keep digging until everything that's in there has been cleaned out. I know in my life, if I'm not constantly putting this flesh under subjection, that stuff will come up every single day and put me farther from the Lord. We need to keep a close eye on what this world is bringing into our homes and our lives. If you have any kind of devices or any smartphones or any kind of thing like that, you need to start getting more smart about them and what they put in front of your eyes. Paul said it, "I die daily, and there was not a day missed," because he knew if you did not keep the flesh under subjection, if you did not crucify this flesh every single day, there would be something that comes up that will hinder you from the Spirit of the Lord. This world is as evil as it ever will be, and if you don't believe me, I just challenge you to go turn on the news and take a look. It will only take a few minutes, because this world loves to portray everything that's going on that's wrong. There's never been a time as hard as today to stand up for Christ. But who's willing to stand up and take their cross and follow him? And look, God is looking for a church who's willing to go out into the fields and dig again the wells of our Father. Isaac dug three significant wells in his life. There was a few more, but they all meant the same thing. So I'd like to cover three wells that we can use as Christians in this day and age. The first well is a well of worship and of praise. We did a little worship service, but I know that that is not where it needs to stop. We need to take this home with us every single day. We need to worship the Lord in our house, in our cars, no matter what. I know we were coming down here, and there were some songs I didn't like, but I still sang them because I need to give God worship. No matter what's on the radio, no matter what's in my mind, I need to give the Lord the highest praise, because that's what he deserves. I'd like to read a Psalms chapter 150. It says, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments. Praise him with the loud-sounding cymbals. And praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. The Bible said, praise shall be continually in my mouth. That means that when I go out of these four walls, all I'm doing is praising Jesus. If I'm saying something negative about my brother or my sister, I'm not praising Jesus. If I'm talking about this church or this pastor, the music, the song leader, the person in the pew next to me, I'm not praising Jesus. We need to always have God's praises in our mouth. I know it's a problem in this day and age. Churches all around see it. If there's not unity in this church, it will not stand. We need to stop being so crucial of this church and start being more critical to this church. Amen. The second well is a well of sacrifice and of prayer. This, I believe, is one of the most overlooked wells of this generation. I know that in my life, I have to make time because this world is so hectic and so busy that if I don't designate time to pray, designate time to just find a place of sacrifice where I can cut things out and make time for the Lord, I will not do it. There's just too many things going on. I could have three jobs. I could have one job. It doesn't matter what's going on. If I'm not making time for the Lord, he won't have it. And I believe that in this generation, we overlook sacrifice and prayer completely. We only focus on worship and what we can get out of this service. And I'd like to tell you a story that I heard by Brother Scott Graham. I never tell it as good as he does, but I try and tell it. So he said that he was a young man preaching, and he had went to an elder and asked of him a question. He said, "What is the difference between the worship that I give and the worship that you give?" And he said, sorry, I'm going to read it because I typed it better than I can say it. I know I can. He said, "This generation loves the presence that God gives you. This generation focuses on what you can get from the Lord, where my generation loves the presence of the Lord." There's a big difference. And if you only come wanting to know what God can give you, or if you come wanting to give God praise, amen? I know that in this generation, we have lots of needs, lots of wants. And in the past generations, their life was much more simple. I've been told that, you know, I don't know because I haven't been around very long. I'm 24. My wife keeps track. I don't keep track of that stuff. But I haven't been around very long. I don't really know what it was like in the time before me, but I've been told it was easier to live for the Lord, and I believe that because anytime you go outside of your four walls of your house, the world is bombarding you, wanting to get your attention. And back then, I think you could just kind of go with the flow, be friends with your neighbors, invite them to church. Now you might get shot. They got the signs that say, beware because of the cost of ammo. You might not get a warning shot. I worry about that sometimes. Amen. But the second well, the well of sacrifice and prayer, I do believe is one of the most overlooked wells. He said the elders come and they give him praise for what he's already given them and what he's done in their life. The young come and they ask for more and more. What can you give me? Can I have the new car? Can I have the new house? Can you just bless me financially in abundance? Can I have that raise? We need to get back to the basics of what the elders have taught us. Dig again the wells of sacrifice and praise. Go back to fasting, go back to supplication, go back to prayer, because prayer is the most important thing a Christian could ever ask for, asking for a prayer life. Prayer without prayer, nothing, nothing happens. Without prayer, there is no growth. Without growth, there is no church. This pastor comes on an every Sunday basis, and he preaches, pray. Pray with your families, pray with your kids, pray with your spouse, find a place of prayer. I've heard it preached so many times into my own life. You need to find a place to pray. But I never really took it strongly before I started studying this and before I started diving into the Word. The Word says we must pray because without prayer we have no walk with God. And without prayer we have nothing.
And like I said, I am short-winded, I promise. So I'm going to ask the music to come back as I close with this final well I'd like to talk to us about. A well that I think is most important to this church as a small and growing church. A church that needs to have revival. The final well I'd like to cover is the well of revival. This church is not a dead church. And this gospel is not a dead gospel. We are in a church of the living God. We are his hands and his feet. And if we're not working daily in the fields of harvest, we are not doing the great commission that Jesus has given to us. Revival is real. Revival is here. This world is lost and dying. And only we have the ability and the tools to reach it. We have time. We don't have time, but we need to make it. We don't have time to sin. We don't have time for idle thoughts. We don't have time to just be a pew sitter anymore. You have to get that devil off your shoulder and tell him straight to his face, I don't have time to be playing church anymore because my tomorrow is not promised and the fields are ready to harvest today. I'll ask you to stand as I do my final scripture here. Luke 10 and verse 2, he said, therefore said Jesus unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. This church needs someone who's going to stand up and be called out. Live a life that's different than everybody else. Live a life that God really wants you to live. If you've been waiting on God to make a move, stop waiting and start moving towards him. Because I promise, if you'll take a step in faith, he'll take two. If you need baptized in this house, we have water. We have a baptism. We are ready to change your life. All you have to do is take the step of faith. You can never, ever find anything greater than what I have to offer you in this gospel in this house. And I believe that with every part of my being. And if you have any needs, I urge you to bring them to this altar right now. I'm opening this altar to you. Bring them to the Lord and he will take care of them. Bring them to this house, God. I know that you can touch and bless a soul, Lord Jesus, no matter what their problem is, no matter what they have led in their life. I know that you can touch them, Lord Jesus. I pray that you would reach out and touch a soul in this house. Lord God, I pray that you would move upon a soul, Lord Jesus, that has let things come in their well and let things mully grub their life, God. I pray that you would help them to get their shovel out and clean out their life of anything that you see that needs to be cleaned. I pray, Lord Jesus, no matter what, that you would move a life and move a soul in this house. Lord God, I pray it. I pray in Jesus' mighty name.